I'm Mike Rush, an Australian correspondent based in Jerusalem reporting for Sitrep Israel. Welcome to another episode of Sitrep Israel, an automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. This Sitrep was generated on Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2026 at 22:16 Israel time, 19:16 UAE quits OPEC as IDF demolishes Hezbollah tunnels built with Iranian guidance. The United Arab Emirates announced it will withdraw from OPEC and the wider OPEC Plus grouping effective May the 1st, stripping the cartel of its third largest producer. The decision follows long-standing disputes over production quotas and signals a historic fracture as Gulf states navigate the Strait of Hormuz blockade. Brent crude traded above $111 a barrel on the news, and analysts warn the move could trigger a bitter price war, with some calling it the beginning of the end of OPEC. Gulf leaders gathered in Jeddah for an extraordinary consultative summit, their first in-person meeting since the war began, chaired by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Qatar warned against a frozen conflict. The UAE's exit reflects a deepening rift with Riyadh and arrives as Hormuz transit remains at just 4 ships per day, 4% of the pre-war level. Across the regional picture, the Israel Defense Forces demolished 2 vast Hezbollah attack tunnels in Qantara, southern Lebanon, using 450 tons of explosives. The tunnels spanned a combined 2 kilometers and reached depths of 25 meters, containing over 30 rooms and 30 operational shafts. The IDF said the complex was built with direct guidance from Iran, and that one tunnel was recently used by Hezbollah's Radwan force to plan attacks on Israel. This marks the largest single tunnel operation since the ceasefire. Hezbollah launched a series of coordinated drone strikes in response. A Merkava tank in Qantara was directly hit. An IDF bulldozer demolishing homes in Bin Jabal was struck. A squadron of attack drones targeted a gathering of Israeli soldiers in Al Tabar. The IDF confirmed several explosive drones detonated near troops without causing injuries. Prime Minister Netanyahu announced a special project ordered 2 weeks ago to counter Hezbollah drones, stating it will take time but will eradicate the threat. Lebanese state forces were caught in the crossfire. 2 Lebanese army soldiers were injured in an Israeli airstrike on Majdal Zun that hit a patrol accompanied by civil defense members and 2 bulldozers during a rescue operation. 3 civil defense members were trapped under rubble. Israeli aircraft struck multiple towns including Jawiya, Altiri, Kafdam, and Tindal-Kantara, with phosphorus bombing reported on Yamar Shakif. The IDF issued urgent evacuation warnings for residents of more than a dozen villages and towns in southern Lebanon, citing Hezbollah ceasefire violations. In Gaza, Palestinian reports indicated 3 people were killed in an airstrike in Gaza City, including Iyad al-Shambari, a commander in Hamas's military wing. In the West Bank, Israeli forces detained 2 Palestinians at the Chareza Junction south of Dura near Hebron. Forces also stormed the city of Qalqilia, and heavily deployed units raided the old city of Jerusalem, detaining a Palestinian man. On the multilateral track, U.S.-Iran peace efforts remain stalled. The United States is considering Iran's latest proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz while postponing a nuclear deal, but President Trump is reportedly unlikely to accept it. Trump claimed on Truth Social that Iran informed him they are in a state of collapse and want the strait opened. U.S. intelligence agencies are examining how Iran would react if Trump declares a unilateral victory. A Reuters Ipsos poll showed Trump's approval rating dipped to a record low amid the war and inflation, with only 22% backing his performance on the cost of living. Several diplomatic channels opened. Turkey pitched itself as a mediator between Hezbollah and Lebanon. Pakistan's defense minister condemned Israeli aggression as destroying regional peace efforts. German Chancellor Merz expressed concern that the U.S. lacks a clear exit strategy. On sanctions and finance, the U.S. Treasury partially suspended cash flights to Baghdad due to Iranian-linked militia threats, and the Foundation for Defense of Democracies argued that U.S. strikes on China's Iranian oil trade are insufficient. In Iraq, the coordination framework nominated little-known businessman Ali al-Zaidi for prime minister. Oil market dynamics show Iran bypassing sanctions by transferring crude to China overland via railway, aiming for over 2 million barrels per day, while Brent backwardation holds at $7.66. Now turning to Iran. The Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps has shored up its wartime power, blunting the role of Supreme Leader Khamenei. Experts cited by the Times of Israel assessed that the IRGC, not Mojtaba Khamenei, dominates deliberations, resulting in an uncompromising negotiating stance. Iranian Army spokesperson Brigadier General Mohammad Akraminia stated Iran remains on a war footing despite the ceasefire, warning of a crushing response to any new aggression. Direct flights between Tehran and Moscow resumed after a two-month suspension caused by the war. Iran's Supreme National Security Council approved an Internet Pro system to preserve businesses during the crisis, easing a blackout that has lasted 3 months, and Iran is reactivating a derelict tanker as Karg Island storage nears capacity, rationing export capacity under the blockade. Moving to the analysis, first the trend. The tempo of kinetic activity on the Lebanon front remains elevated, consistent with the past week's pattern of daily Hezbollah drone strikes and Israeli airstrikes. However, the scale of the tunnel demolition represents a significant escalation in Israeli ground activity, moving beyond reactive strikes to deliberate infrastructure dismantlement. The diplomatic track has stalled further, with the UAE's OPEC exit introducing a new fracture in Gulf cohesion. The protagonist set has expanded to include the UAE as a disruptive actor in energy markets, while the IRGC's consolidation of power in Tehran solidifies a harder line negotiating posture. On the information environment, the dominant narrative pushed by Israel and the US frames the tunnel demolition as a necessary defensive measure against Iranian-directed Hezbollah attack plans, reinforcing the Iran as puppet master storyline. Hezbollah's military media counters with a narrative of successful drone strikes on IDF assets, portraying the group as effectively resisting Israeli incursions. The UAE's OPEC exit is being spun by Washington as a win for Trump's anti-cartel stance, while Saudi-aligned outlets emphasize the cartel's weakening. Tehran's state media projects resilience, highlighting resumed Moscow flights and military readiness, while Trump's state of collapse claim aims to undermine that narrative. The gap between the U.S. portrayal of Iranian desperation and Iran's public posture of defiance remains wide. And the synthesis. The simultaneous tunnel demolition and OPEC fracture are not coincidental but reflect a broader realignment. Israel is exploiting the ceasefire to degrade Hezbollah's strategic infrastructure with impunity, while the UAE's exit signals that Gulf states are prioritizing national economic interests over cartel solidarity in a prolonged crisis. This dual dynamic pressures Iran on both military and economic fronts, but also risks fragmenting the anti-Iran coalition. A counter-reading is that the UAE's move is purely opportunistic and unrelated to the war. However, the timing amid the Hormuz blockade and the GCC summit suggests a calculated signal to both Riyadh and Washington that the UAE will not be constrained by OPEC quotas when its own export capacity is threatened. And now, the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. Three indicators to watch. First, Sentinel-1 synthetic aperture radar imagery over Kantara at coordinates 33.28 north, 35.48 east, to verify tunnel demolition crater dimensions and debris field against IDF claims of 450 tons of explosives used. Second, Flight Radar 24 tracking of Mahan Air Flight IR-1149 on the Tehran-Moscow route, confirming resumption of direct flights after a two-month suspension and potential diplomatic cargo. Third, Lloyd's List intelligence vessel tracking data for UAE flag tankers in the Fujairah anchorage, monitoring for a loading activity surge after the OPEC exit announcement on May 1st. Looking at these indicators through a status quo lens, Hezbollah will continue daily drone attacks on IDF positions in southern Lebanon through May 1st, maintaining pressure without triggering a full Israeli ground offensive. The U.S. will formally reject Iran's proposal to decouple the Strait of Hormuz from nuclear talks within 48 hours, prolonging the diplomatic stalemate. And the Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through May 5th, with no resumption of direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, with low confidence across all three, Iran will conduct a symbolic missile or drone strike on a non-Israeli target, such as a U.S. base in Syria or Iraq, in retaliation for the tunnel demolition, breaking the ceasefire before May 2nd. Saudi Arabia will announce a unilateral production increase within 72 hours in response to the UAE's OPEC exit, triggering an oil price war that crashes Brent below $90. And Hezbollah will successfully strike an IDF command post or concentration of troops with a drone swarm, causing multiple Israeli fatalities and prompting a major Israeli ground operation north of the Litani River. That concludes this Sitrep. For more, visit sitrepisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_Sitreps. This is Mike Rush signing off from Jerusalem.